Tonight's shiur may have a unique nature of perhaps giving the opportunity to actually put into action what we're learning about in real time. Certainly we can hope for that. Because we're trying to learn about the concept of, as the Mishnah describes it, acquiring a friend and utilizing that friendship or putting it into good action in the best good way. And the Rambam, in his explanation of this Mishnah, the first parak of Amos, the sixth Mishnah, says that the expression that our Chachamim use, where they say, acquire for yourself a friend, is a very unique expression. It could have said, join with others. It could have said, take someone to be your friend. But acquiring means that there needs to be very concerted efforts put in, and even to the extent of even spending money, if that could be helpful, to acquire a true and good friend. And the Rambam is going to spell out for what primary purpose or what level of friendship our Chachamim intended with this very strong directive. And first, the Rambam brings the name of Aristotle, three levels of friendship. He says there are friends that are directed at their desire for material benefits, what he calls the love of toelus, of benefits. And an example of this would be two partners in business or a king with his army. Now, as we learned in the Sefer Chumash Halavos, even in the area of business, there is a real need for people to be working together, and when they are really devoted to one another and really working together, they will achieve the best good success, even in the material world. It will be of the best good nature, because he says that they won't need extreme and lavish success. They'll be able to accomplish finding their needs. And of course, when they're working together, that's going to be most successful. And certainly a king and his army, that true devotion one to another is going to play a significant role in their efforts being successful. The real trust that one has for the other, the army and the king and his army, of course, is critical. The second level, the Rambam calls, the name of Aristotle, the love of menucha, of tranquility. And the main example that we could take from is when someone has in his life someone that he could share anything with, anything positive, even anything negative, without any concern of any harm, any damage, any loss coming to him of any nature. This good devoted friend won't be jealous of his success. He won't lose respect for him because of his failures. There's no concern of anything being shared with anyone else. It'll be completely confidential. And the Rambam says that when he has this, he will have a great benefit. Will find great tranquility and peace, comfort in the words of his friend and his love to him, that is manifest by this complete security and that complete confidence that he could share anything. And it would seem, of course, that there's a great benefit to being able to share all those parts of his life. And course, simply in a situation where each one is giving that to the other. So that is a great benefit for each of them. The third level, the Rambam says, what he calls the love of ma'ala, of elevation. And he describes that as that the desire and the intention for each one of them is the same, is one thing. And what is that? The good. Hatoyv. That's all the Rambam says. Their desire is for the true good. Now, we may not know exactly what Aristotle may have had in mind with that. Of course, it has to be of some kind of a pure nature, whether we know very well what the true good is, the only true good. And that is the good that is of Hashem himself, that we are given the ability to connect to. And where everything in Torah and mitzvahs is some outgrowth, as the Ramchal says. All aspects of spiritual elevation are finding their root basis in the perfect good of Hashem himself. So everything that we are trying to do in the arena of Torah mitzvahs, of everything in the life of Torah, the life of a true Torah Jew, is some aspect of connection to the true good that is of Hashem. And these two friends have that same goal. They are sharing that same goal, that same desire. And the Rambam says that this is the kind of friendship that our Chachamim had in mind when they gave us this very strong directive and strong recommendation to acquire a true good friend. So let's take a moment just to analyze a couple of the ways that this friendship is contributing in a very good way in that goal that they each share. So in the arena of study of Torah, we know that it's critical to have others that one is involved with. And it would seem, I guess, the best form is someone that we're truly close to. Because as we find in the Gemara, that Rebbe, great Tana, said that he learned great deal from his teachers, but even more from his chaverim, more from his friends than from his teachers. And the Mashal Makos spells out how, because the Torah is so deep and so difficult to reach its truth, it's critical for a person to be involved in learning with others, and he cannot reach it all by himself as an individual. Unlike other bodies of law that were man-made, where a person could study it on his own, the Torah cannot be properly reached by a person on his own. And if he attempts to do that, then it is essentially a manifestation of this severe misunderstanding or lack of proper respect of the Torah. That's a very severe thing. So we know we need the help of others to understand the Torah correctly. And in a person's personal character development, a person's personal mitzvah accomplishment, it also needs the help of a good friend. A powerful example is the situation of Nadav Avihu, where one of the critical factors that are mentioned in the Medrash of where they failed was, it says that they did not consult with one another. They did not take advice one from the other. Each one was quite certain that this plan of action was correct, but they should have realized that they need to be consulting with one another, and that this will perhaps unveil something that they could not see on their own, as it actually would have, or at least could have. And that was a great failure on their part, that they did not employ this approach of asking each other advice. Now, we might wonder, well, if they each held the same way, how could this have made a difference? And of course, one simple answer could be that through the discussion that they would have had with each other, they would discover greater clarity and realize that they had originally been making a grave error in their original plan. But it seems from the Lashon of the Medrash that it has to do with asking advice. And this could really involve the aspect of objectivity that a person has when it comes to his friend. Like Rabbeinu Yonah says here on the Mishnah, that a person might not be himself a complete tzaddik or even on a higher spiritual level than his friend, but he may have his own failures at times, but he has no desire for his friend to do anything wrong. He has no yetzer for his friend to transgress. So he'll be able to encourage him and inspire him, of course, in the best good way, as the Rambam describes how to do it. So expressing that care, that concern, that desire for everything good, especially in next worlds, for one's friend. And there could also be this element of being able to see things more accurately when it comes to my own desire, whatever they might have had in this case, even of some great spiritual achievements. There may not be the full capacity to see things correctly, but when my friend is asking me, and I only want what's good for him, and I'm a little bit distant, you know. It's not literally for myself. I can be clearer. I can be more objective. I can see what's really good. And of course, there can be many situations where through discussion, there can be a greater understanding than what we could have had on our own. And sometimes we have an idea and we're not 100% sure. Is this correct? Is this really valid? Could this be helpful? And when we get that good response that someone shares with us, oh, this makes sense to them. This sounds like it could be helpful to them. Then that's very, very affirming. That's very encouraging. It's very helpful to recognize, oh, there may be really something good here. So we understand that there's a great benefit that one has to gain from the other and give to the other. This is a very interesting expression in the Rambam here. He uses the words that each one wants to be helped by his friend as that good comes to the two of them together. Each one wants to be helped by his friend as that true good comes to the two of them together. And here we can ask, and it seems like that is their preferred choice of how this should be achieved. They want that they should need the help of their friend. They want to be helped by their friend, meaning that help should be needed, which of course it is. But it's not only that they want to receive the benefits that their friend has to offer, because that's true by all the levels that Rambam listed before. And the Rambam is concluding with this idea that they want that good to come to the two of them together. Seems like their preferred means of acquiring this true good that they're striving for is that it should be through the help that they're giving one to another, as opposed to being even able to do it independently, if that was possible, or to whatever degree that it might be possible. Their preference is that they should be accomplishing it through the help of their friend. So let's ask ourselves, if we would be in that kind of position where we could have the choice whether to accomplish something very good in the spiritual arena on our own, we could study something with good, sincere effort in Torah that's not simple and really sort of break through and gain the understanding. Or no, we cannot get it on our own. We can only get it with our friend's help. Or in our own personal work, our own character development, our own battle against the Yetzirah. If we had a choice of being able to accomplish something very good independently, or no, we cannot do it independently. We can only do it with our friends helping us. Which would we rather? Would we rather be able to do it on our own independently? Or would we choose, I'd rather that I can't do it on my own, and only together will this be accomplished. Only together will this part of Torah be understood. Only through our help to one another will my own personal challenge be somehow resolved or sort of lessened, gotten on the road to something really good in my own personal situation. And it was only through my friend's help. Of course, it's quite enjoyable to be receiving that help, but it seems like there's something more at play here. So if anybody wants to, you know, share what they would choose for themselves, you're welcome to go ahead and share that.
Can Rebbe hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, I would assume that people, you know, usually want to feel self-sufficient and that they can do things on their own. So I feel like that would, you know, resonate with me, like to need something external would feel like, you know, like I'm missing, like there's something wrong with me. Like, why can't I just get this on my own?
Right.
But I don't want my friend to not get it. It's just, you know, I don't want to feel like I need someone else to, like, it would be as if I'm trying to walk and I need help with someone else to help me walk. That would be like embarrassing. Like, why would I want to need someone else's help to walk? Like, I'm not injured.
Absolutely. I'm quite confident that if you ask a very large majority of men, they would say that they would prefer to do it on their own. I'm not so sure about women, you know. They're more inclined to, you know, the cooperative experiences. But men, by and large, I'm quite confident, would say they would prefer to be able to be independent and accomplish it on their own. And of course, there could be something that you're mentioning of feeling like somehow I'm not fully capable if I need help. And we're very conditioned to that. And it can also be the desire of the good feeling of the accomplishment, because we are looking to affirm our capability and our ability to accomplish good things on our own. And here we're finding that that is not the form that would take place among such close chaverim that are truly, sincerely striving for that true good. Now, it may be hard for us to judge this because, of course, we have a lot of conditioning to want to be self-sufficient. And what that's all about at that level, that my desire and my intent is for one thing, to achieve true spiritual elevation, true closeness to Hashem. We may not be there yet to know what happens when you get there. So we have to try to envision this, and try to imagine being in a state where that is my goal, to come close to Hashem. And of course, that will be a very connecting element already, that we both have this goal. If the two chaverim have the same singular goal of coming close to Hashem, of achieving true good, then they are connected, that being their life's goal. It's a tremendous connecting factor. They're not looking for material gain. They're not looking for something that would put them apart, their own personal pleasure. They're looking for something that is true and pure and spiritual. So they're already greatly connected. But it seems that that's not sufficient yet. That's not enough. The full achievement of that true good is only going to be when they are connecting to one another in the fullest way possible. And if that means that their very essential spiritual achievement is coming through the help to one another, then that's what they will want more than to be affirming their own abilities. And maybe already, of course, in that state, that personal need is a little bit reduced because they have a higher goal in life. So there may be less that is sort of blocking it. But there is a appreciation and recognition that if we do this together, it's going to bring us closer together. And that is a critical element in the achieving the true good. What is the true good? True connection. What does Hashem give to us? True connection to Him. So how can we experience true connection? How can we come to understand true connection? Only if we live it. Only if we, through our working together and utilizing everything that we have to contribute to one another in that process, actually enhance that connection to the fullest degree, where our very spiritual achievements are the product of that joint effort. So that is such a powerful connecting force. And that is going to be experienced also that way. It's coming to us together. It's going to be like even a different kind of a experience of that good achievement. Not just going to be, I did it on my own. It's going to be, we did it. And now we are like experiencing it as it's happening through our help to each other. That is of a different nature. That's like real teamwork, real oneness. As close as we can to something like what Hashem is giving to us to truly connect to Him. And it's amazing because the form that we do our part and Hashem gives it to us is really in some kind of a partnership. Ramchal describes it that way, that Hashem gives it a tzaddikim to partner with Him in the perfection of the world. And of course, every person in their own life, Hashem is giving us every ability that we need, and even some help against the Eight Sahara, so it's not even totally independent in our own effort. Then of course it has to be our part, our work, our choosing it. So when we actually accomplish coming close to Hashem, it's also in a cooperative way. Hashem is like showing it to us. This is the way to achieve closeness, where it's done together. This is how Hashem gives it to us. So when we are doing it together with one another and coming close to each other as we are designed to be able to do and to be, then we are really emulating Hashem's derech of that kind of a partnership of sorts. So as much as we can try to live with that. So it really comes out that in the best good situation, if we have a choice, even if it will be possible, it's actually not possible. In a certain sense, like, that shows us that's how it's supposed to be. It needs to be, it can only be done together in the fullest way. But even if theoretically, or the way I relate to it, will I like sort of be hesitant? I'll be accepting that help. I'll be glad to offer that help, but essentially wishing that it wouldn't be needed, or no, should I be embracing it? It's like to recognize, oh, that process is critical in achieving the ultimate goal. That form of it being accomplished through our helping each other, through our sharing together the ideas, the thoughts, the experience, is how we come to make contact with the truth of the Torah, with the truth of ourselves, with the living of with the Torah. Oh, so it's meant to be done in that kind of way. So we can embrace that, then we are recognizing that this is the real way that it's meant to be. And it's like, it's amazing to us because it's so different than how we're so conditioned. But that's okay. I think that, you know, we can get our head wrapped around this, even though maybe it's, you know, a little bit above where we are, but we can appreciate and we can try to employ this concept wherever it is available to us. Where if somebody has something to offer to give to us, and we can really, you know, see that we should not be hesitant to accept that good help or to offer that good help. We should recognize, oh, the best way to do this is as a team. There could be a team of two. There could be a team of a few people together. There could be a team of a family, of a community. There's all kinds of good teams that we could try to develop. But to know that good spiritual achievement that's coming about through that oneness is coming through this. This needs it. So then this is something that we should like be rejoicing in. Not to feel like, oh, I wish I could have done it on my own. Of course, we should put in our best good effort. We should not like slack off and rely on someone else to do it for us, of course. But to know that we can each give our best good effort and there'll be room for something to be added. And of course, in Torah learning, every person has a little bit of a different angle, a different sense of things. So of course, there's always something to be added because the Torah is so deep and so vast. Everyone has their own unique chelik. And then, of course, in the personal arena, we're seeing from the Rebbe Yonah says, a person has someone who we could share, giving ba'ore rucho, like awaken my spirit. When there's a real good listening ear, then it's a whole different kind of understanding of myself. I've heard that it's a big misunderstanding to think that even therapy is a one-way street. No. There's a lot being gained in a mutual way. Especially because like when we see that someone understands something and accepts something, that we appreciate it more, we value it more, we make a different kind of contact with it. And that's the connection one to another in the process is a critical element. And that can only be achieved when it's alive, when it's being lived that way. So this is how we're designed. We're designed to need each other in Torah learning, need each other, and even the personal life, that menucha is a great benefit, as Rambam says, to need each other too, for the encouragement, for the advice, for the self-analysis. And through that, we are reaching that desired goal in a way that is coming to us together. No one has it all worked out already, you know. We shouldn't think like, you know, someone who we're turning to for help doesn't have what to gain in that process. They have what to gain in that process. And when we're asked to help someone, we can let them know that this is a real two-way street. This is the way that we come to understand, you know, our ourselves, the Torah. So let's go. Go ahead, Menachem. Go ahead.
Please. A couple things. First is we see by Hashem that he was Shaul Eitzah, but his his achievements come from within him. He didn't rely on anyone like collaborating with him to get his perfection. So isn't that innately not like Hashem?
Oh, of course, like Hashem's perfection is of a unique nature, of course. But I'm referring to the Ramchal says that Hashem takes the tzaddikim as like his partner. And Klal Yisrael's relationship with Hashem of such elevated nature, he calls it like comparing to, like Shlomo HaMelech compares husband and a wife, liboy gas, we have, so Hashem lifts us up to such a great degree. But it seems like it's coming largely through this, that Hashem is taking us up as a partner. Hashem could take an approach of, I'm going to bless you with all the good that I want you to have. There's a condition. You have to also choose it. You have to work for it. But you're going to be like very, very secondary. And then it's really going to come from me. And the way the Torah is describing it is that the tzaddikim are, Hashem is taking as their partner, as his partner. Hashem wears Klal Yisrael as his crown. We are bringing about Hashem's purpose in the Bria. His avodim, we're called his avodim, of course. But then we're given, it's handed over to us, the Ramchal says. It's nimsar liyodai. It's handed over to him, the tikkun abriya. So it's like, Hashem is handing over to us to perfect his bria. Of course, giving us all the power, all the ability. But then it's called that we are doing it. Of course, with Hashem's help, there's a teamwork going on. And I think this even helps us to understand when Hillel says to the Ger, the whole Torah is not to abandon your friendship to Hashem, not to turn away from it. As you know from human experience, how painful that is if a friend of yours would ignore something that you asked of him and sort of counting on him for. So do not do anything to diminish the friendship. Rashi brings the pasuk in Mishlei, do not abandon your friend and your father's friend. So defining the whole Torah with the concept of friendship. So this helps very much because we can wonder, can we view ourselves as having friendship with Hashem? What do we have to offer? What do we have to contribute in that friendship? Hashem is giving us the closest to him, of course, that's amazing. But like to define it this way, we could say, you know, a loving father, a devoted king, but to call it, you know, Reacha. So I'm sure there's much more involved. But this could be one element that we can relate to. That's, yes, and all the good that Hashem wants to give, he gives us the position, which we have to undertake, which we have to contribute for it to work. But he gives it to us in a form that we're doing this together. Come, let's bring my chesed into being, and you'll receive it. But you will help to bring it about, and we'll do it together. So what we do together, we are literally emulating that. And that is the true means of gaining that closest to each other, which is contributing in a very major way to the closest to Hashem.
What? Can I ask one more question? Or
yes, is there absolutely. Allow me to say Shalom Aleichem to your partner over there. Okay.
His go name ahead. Is Binyamin. Binyamin.
Yes, go ahead. My
is like, it seems like a pretty tall order, at least for me. Like I, you know, Bishlomo Chavrusa, we are learning together. It's very structured. It's like a certain amount of time. So we can, you know, learn the sugya and have different opinions and share. But this idea of having, it's like almost like a chaver that Pirkei Avos talks about, where like you, there's like a depth of knowing each other and just really being able to help each other in that way of personal growth. And like, it seems like such a far off concept from reality these days, like at least for me, maybe.
Right, you know? No, I hear. I'm with you on that. I was aware, I was thinking about this, that, you know, to try to take this and like plug it in directly seems, you know, a little bit out of reach. But the basic concept of it, that's where there's that opportunity of doing something together, of helping one another, we should see it in this context, that this is a very like valuable opportunity to enhance that good connection that we have already to some degree. And that it shouldn't be looked at as like, you know, a second choice situation. This is the first choice situation. When I'm stuck, I need to talk to somebody that's good. That's not like, okay, b'dieved, I need the help. I will go seek it out from someone who I can expect can help me. It will be like, oh, Baruch Hashem. So that will free us up to be able to, you know, gain it and carry it out in the way that it's meant to be. It should be like, okay, this is how we roll. This is how we live as a Jew. We need to help each other, of course, in many good ways, but even in the spiritual arena where we would think that that's up to the person himself, we would never think in terms of like a joint achievement in Ruchnius. We think like, okay, we can, the company can make money together, you know, the army and the general can fight together, but that I can become close to Hashem together with you. And that's what seems to be being described here. Yes, the way that we truly come close to Hashem is together in a very major way. There are aspects, of course, that we are, you know, individually functioning and also achieving, of course. When we're davening, it's just us with Hashem. But those parts of life, Torah, mitzvahs, Eitzah, that need that help, we should see that as like, oh, this is a critical component, a great opportunity. Let's use it in the best good way. Let's not shy away from it. Let's try to create as best we can that sense of teamwork, of team identity, and try to, you know, employ that wherever we can, because that's adding a lot. Okay. I think